It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Connor. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Wisconsinites battling Parkinson's disease are using boxing to stay in shape and build new friendships. We'll learn more from one of the trainers in the Rock Steady program.
Now, Governor Walker signed lame duck legislation today in Green Bay as he prepares to leave office in January. Among the bills he signed was a controversial change that strips some executive powers from incoming Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Though Walker and other state Republicans say the powers of the governor will effectively be the same.
Speaking at a news conference today, Walker said that these bills were necessary to keep the state government transparent and stable moving forward. He also highlighted his 8-year legacy as governor and a Kimberly-Clark deal that was made official yesterday.
Sean Johnson is the Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
So these bills signed were passed in this extraordinary session of the legislature. There had been hints and speculation that the governor might use line item veto power on some part of it. Did he?
Hints from the governor himself, and he did not. He said today that there was only one of them that he could have used it on because only one of them was an appropriation bill, you know, that spent money. And he didn't want to change that bill. There were other bills that perhaps he was looking at, but he just decided to sign all three in their entirety.
Now, there are arguments about how big a deal these changes are. Republicans say these are small changes to the power of the governor. Democrats saying these are pretty big changes. We'll leave it for them to evaluate that. But the powers of Tony Evers as governor will be at some level less than they are for Governor Scott Walker.
Yeah, and they're not theoretical. And if you needed any example on how they are real changes that could have tangible effects on a governor, look at the Kimberly-Clark deal that Governor Scott Walker reached yesterday. This is, you know, there was as an effort in the state legislature to pass a Kimberly-Clark incentive package, and it went nowhere in the state Senate. A number of Republicans had problems with it. Democrats said that, you know, that they were never consulted, so they weren't going to sign on. And so we all thought that was dead, that there was going to be no way for the state to offer some kind of an incentive to Kimberly Clark. But Governor Scott Walker did, through these powers that he has or had as of yesterday, to reach an agreement like this with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So they were able to reach a $28 million deal with Kimberly Clark. Under the bill that Governor Scott Walker signed today, one of them, Tony Evers, would be unable to do that without first going to the legislature to get their okay. And maybe that would happen, but there was a bill in the legislature that, again, did not pass this year.
And Governor Walker, in his press conference today, was trying to sell the case that, hey, Tony Evers will be as much of a governor as I am. They had a thing that looked like a Venn diagram. People have pointed out it didn't really make sense as a Venn diagram. But the gist was Scott Walker has powers, Tony Evers has powers, they both have the line item veto, not a big change, is the case that they're trying to sell here.
So Tony Evers' biggest powers as governor, I guess you could say, are still there. He will still have a powerful veto pen. These bills did not affect that. He'll still make, you know, a number of appointments. But to say that he would have the same powers as Governor Walker did during his administration, you know, wouldn't be correct. I mean, the bills that were signed into law today would restrict those powers in a number of ways. I mean, the Kimberly-Clark bill is one example. Another is that, you know, Tony Evers campaigned extensively on getting Wisconsin out of a multi-state lawsuit that seeks to end the Affordable Care Act. He could have done that as of, you know, yesterday, but now that's no longer, you know, within his power. He'd have to run that by the legislature first. The legislature supports that lawsuit.
And then some changes that'll affect incoming Attorney General Josh Call as well.
Yeah, Josh Call. And those were whittled down a bit from what Republicans initially proposed when they rolled these bills out. But what the Republicans would be able to do is, if they want to, hire private attorneys more easily, not rely on the Department of Justice so much. And also it would be up to the legislature to decide how to spend settlement money from lawsuits. Right now, that authority rests with the Department of Justice, which Call will lead.
Talking to WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, looking at the bills signed into law by Governor Walker today from the extraordinary session, many of which limit the powers of incoming Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General-elect Josh Call. By the way, we'll be talking to a couple of key players in these stories. State lawmaker, Republican state lawmaker John Nygren will join us. I believe it's on Monday. And incoming Attorney General-elect Josh Call joins us also next week. Let's talk about some of the response, Sean. Tony Evers, Governor-elect Evers, has been talking about this session as it's been going along. What's his reaction today now to Governor Walker signing these?
His reaction was that Governor Walker had ignored the will of the people. I think that's the phrase that you hear Democrats come back to quite a bit. And Tony Evers did again today. He said he's going to use whatever he can to fight these things. You did hear a stronger reaction from Democratic groups, though, and they're a bit more specific. One Wisconsin Institute and a group led by former Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, said that they are going to challenge these restrictions that were signed into law today on early voting. So just to take a step back, I mean, Wisconsin had Republican-authored restrictions on early voting that were thrown out by a federal judge in 2016. These would put them back, not identical, but they're similar. And so now you have Democratic groups, Eric Holder's included, saying we're not going to let this stand.
And we're looking at a national reaction to this as well, people comparing Wisconsin to North Carolina, which a couple of years back was going through a similar situation. Michigan is doing some similar things now. We've seen Republican Governor John Kasich of Ohio critical of Governor Walker, his fellow Republican Governor Scott Walker's decision here. This is a story that's being watched nationwide.
It is. It's gotten a lot of attention. The Venn diagram that you alluded to earlier has actually gotten a lot of attention nationally today, too. But John Kasich's interesting because when Kasich and Walker both took office in 2011, Ohio and Wisconsin were following a very similar road. I mean, a bill would pop up in one state and a nearly identical bill would pop up in the other state. They had a version of, you know, what we now know as Act 10 in Wisconsin. In Ohio, their version, you know, voters had a chance to go to the polls and essentially rescind it. But Kasich and Walker, you know, had a long history of being similar governors. And so Kasich's now breaking from that in a pretty public way as he eyes a potential presidential bid.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Sean, the Kimberly-Clark deal, and I wanted to spend at least a couple of minutes on the specifics of that. As you said, long back and forth in the legislature, ultimately they were unable to pass an incentive package. What is in this deal that the governor used his now non-existent powers to work with Weedick, the development corporation, to keep at least some of these Kimberly-Clark jobs in the state?
Yeah, what's in this deal, it would be up to $28 million in state tax credits for Kimberly-Clark for retaining, I believe, 388 jobs in its Cold Spring facility in Wisconsin. And the governor was able to do that through, you know, existing incentives with Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation that until today did not need the legislature's approval. It was interesting when this news came out on the same day, Kimberly-Clark runs a facility in Arkansas and layoff notices went out the day that the Wisconsin deal was announced. So this was a case where you hear about it a lot, where states are kind of competing against each other for these companies. In this case, Wisconsin did come up with a payment, essentially, for Kimberly-Clark. And, you know, Kimberly-Clark announced it was going to stay here. And Arkansas had, you know, worse news.
And how does this deal that the governor has reached compare to what lawmakers are doing? Is there less money involved?
There's less money involved in this one than what lawmakers are doing. Yeah, what the legislature was looking at was the phrase we use is Foxconn-style tax incentives. And that's based on the percentage of tax credits that the company would have gotten for every job that they retained in Wisconsin. So it's less than that as a percentage. So it's not an exact copy of that, but you're talking about tax credits, you know, a state payment to the company based on jobs retained.
So here we are, a rocky start even before the new governor and the very slightly different legislature takes office in January. So what are you watching for now when Democrat Tony Evers actually is no longer governor-elect? He's the governor working with this state legislature that's trimmed at least his powers.
I guess I want to see what we're going to be looking at for a lawsuit. I mean, it sounds like we're going to have one. It sounds like there will be something happening with the early voting restrictions that we know. There's also been talk about some kind of a legal challenge to some of the other restrictions on Tony Evers or Attorney General-elect Josh Call, whether there might be some kind of a separation of powers case that could be made there. I don't know what that would look like. I mean, I haven't heard anyone come out and say, here's how you win that. Here's the very clear-cut violation of separation of powers. They just kind of say there's a case to be made there. So that's what I think we'll watch for next, even before Evers takes office potentially, is where does this go in court?
And is anybody floating, happy ideas like, hey, here's ways, despite our differences, we can work together to do at least some things in the state?
People say that. People say that sometimes. I mean, the last couple of weeks haven't been a great time for that to seem, realistic. There's been, it's been more combative over the past couple of weeks. There are some issues where maybe the Republican legislature and Governor Tony Evers would see eye to eye in the state assembly, for example, on transportation funding. But that seems like a long ways off right now. I mean, the governor-elect will introduce his budget probably in mid-February, and that's when you'll start looking for potential areas of agreement, but also probably a lot of areas where they'll fight.
Sean, thanks as always.
Thanks, Rob.
Sean Johnson is the Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. He joined us to talk about Governor Walker signing extraordinary session bills today in Green Bay and the latest on a new deal now with the state and Kimberly-Clark.